Our scripture passage this morning is John chapter 9. It's a long one this morning, so as we stand to hear from God's word, don't feel too bad if you can't stand for the entire reading. But would you stand as we read from John chapter 9? As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Is this not the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the days on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. When they turned again to the blind man, "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight until they sent for this man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one who said was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "We know that he is our son," the parents answered. "As we know, he was born blind, but now he can see. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, and he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." The second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "You know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see." Then they asked him, "What did he do? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want me to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too?" They then hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, Now that is remarkable. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opens eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly persons who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he went and found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know those blind spot monitoring systems that are on cars nowadays, that if somebody's in your blind spot, either in your mirror or somewhere close to your mirror, you have this light that comes on and tells you that there's a car there. They can be helpful systems. I know Emma and I went to Chicago Friday, Saturday, just to get away for a little bit of time before the baby arrives. And those blind spot monitoring systems are helpful when you're in that heavy traffic around Chicago, and it can kind of help you see maybe where you can't see. You kind of have this vision that you can see, and anything kind of behind that is difficult to see unless you turn your head. And I know these blind spot monitoring systems, they'll illuminate if somebody's there, and if you turn your blinker on, at least in our cars, it'll give you a beep and kind of warn you not to swerve into it and cause an accident. They can be helpful systems to see what we can't see with our own vision, or at least not until we turn our head, and then you're not looking ahead, so it helps you see those areas that you cannot see, those blind spots, kind of what Steve was saying in the children's message. If we're looking through that paper towel tube, it gives you kind of a narrow vision, and we all have this vision that we can see, but we can't always see everything. We either have to turn our attention to it or focus on it, and in the Christian life, we have blind spots as well. Sometimes God's word can help illuminate these blind spots to us. Being in community with fellow believers can also help us to see in the blind spots that maybe we can't see in and of ourselves, because we're just humans and we all have different viewpoints that we come from, and we all see things a bit differently than anybody else does, because we have different life experiences. We grew up in different families and come from different backgrounds. And all of that stuff kind of influences how we see the world and how we perceive things. So as we go to God's word, it's helpful for us to not only just read it ourselves, but also to see what other people are reading and gleaning from it. And it can be helpful to see our blind spots. We see blind spots all the time in our Christian faith. Perhaps you've heard phrases like this before. God has ordained so and so to lead our nation. In and of itself, that isn't a theologically poor statement. You get scriptures in Isaiah and in Romans where it says that God places leaders over nations, and God is the supreme ruler, and no one would come to power if it wasn't for his will. However, oftentimes when you hear phrases like God has ordained so-and-so to lead our nation, it's trying to persuade you to vote for this person as opposed to the other one, because God has specifically said this person, or that's what the phrase is trying to get to, that God set this person aside to lead. Well, Scripture doesn't explicitly say who to vote for every time we go to the polls, and again as we go this year, we have to have some discernment about what Scripture says and discernment about who we're voting for. We can't just take someone's word for it. We need discernment in that moment. Or maybe you've heard something along this line as well. I could never believe that God would do something like that. It's taking our assumption of what God should be like or how God should act in the world and placing God in this box, and we're saying that God can't do anything outside of that box. you've kind of said specifically this is how God acts in the world, and we might have a blind spot there that Scripture might address, or as we read it in community with one another, you might come to realize that God's a little bit bigger than that box that we put him in. Those are some pretty stark, easy examples, I think, of blind spots that we have in the church sometimes. But what about when we read Scripture? Are we reading Scripture and always focused on someone other than ourselves that Scripture is speaking to? Like, oh, so-and-so, or Scripture is speaking to our culture in this way, and all they need to do is straighten up and follow what Scripture says, and we'll be good. But how often do we read Scripture and we point the finger not at somebody else and says, this is how Scripture tells you to live, but how often do we point that finger at us and say, Scripture wants me to live this way, and I'm not living this way, so I need to change. That could be a huge blind spot for us. It's easy to see someone else's problem as we read Scripture, but do we have the humility to come to it and to see ourselves in it? God hasn't written Scripture for those outside the church. He's written Scripture to address the issues that we have so that we might live as God's people. That's first and foremost what Scripture is for God's people, before it goes out and addresses other issues outside of the church community. Our Scripture passage this morning deals with these blind spots that people have. It's this story of a blind man who, ironically, by the end of the passage, is the only one who truly sees who Jesus is and how he is at work in the world. Growing up, whenever I would read this story in my children's Bible, I would always think this is like the grossest miracle that ever took place. Like Jesus spitting on the ground, making some mud, and then putting it on somebody's eyes. That's gross. It's a little unsanitary. But it's how Jesus heals this man who was born blind. And as we read our Scripture passage, you got to hear some context about what people thought of people who were born with disabilities back in that time. And it had to be someone's fault that this man was born blind. His disciples, as they walked past this man, asked Jesus the question, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus says, you're thinking about it all wrong. You have a blind spot when it comes to that, and you're going to get off track and get into a theological accident if you go in that direction. And later on, as the Pharisees are trying to figure out what Jesus did and was this right or not, again, it comes up. This man who was steeped in sin from birth, they labeled this blind man as he has to have sin because he is blind. They couldn't wrap their minds around that this man was blind from birth, not of his fault or his parents' fault, but just the reality that happens, that we live in a broken world, which means our bodies don't act as they should sometimes, that people are born with disabilities, and God can use those, as he does in this passage, to show his glory in different situations. But today I want to focus on the Pharisees' reaction to this miracle that Jesus performs. We find out that he's performed this miracle on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees are going through the list of how to address this miracle that's taken place. First, the Pharisees try to write it off. They say, well, maybe this isn't the same man who was born blind, who we've seen begging outside of the gates his entire life from the time where his parents could no longer take care of him. He's been every day sitting there and with his cup begging for a few cents so that he might be able to have a meal that evening before he returns home. If you had a physical disability, you were cast out. You were seen as unclean, again, because there was some sin that led to this. So everybody saw him. Everybody knew he was the town blind man who was begging there. But nobody got to know him. Jesus might have been the only person to have a conversation with him, as opposed to his parents his entire life, or at least most of his life. And now the Pharisees are trying to figure this thing out. So the first thing, they try to write it off, but they bring his parents in, and his parents says, well, yes, this is our son who was born blind, but he's of age now. You talk to him about what happened. We weren't there. We don't know what happened. They were kind of placing the guilt on him because, as our text says, the Pharisees had already said that anyone who follows Jesus will be thrown out of our community, will be made like this blind man. So after the Pharisees can't say that, well, it's probably just a different guy. No, they know it's that guy now. So then they have to figure out, well, did Jesus break the Sabbath by healing him then? Is it against the law to spit on the ground, to make some mud, to wipe it on someone's eyes and then say, go and wash in this pool? Perhaps. Scholars throughout the years have tried to figure out if what Jesus did would have actually been against a Sabbath law. Some argue maybe, some say no, because obviously Jesus wouldn't be breaking a Sabbath law. Or perhaps in giving this man sight, in welcoming him back into the community, that he couldn't be breaking a Sabbath law, because they had it built in there that if your cattle needed watering or needed food, that you could do that on the Sabbath to sustain life, was not against the Sabbath law. So perhaps in giving this man sight and giving him life again, that Jesus was in the clear. But the Pharisees wanted to find Jesus guilty so that they could write him off. But they couldn't get anyone to say that he had broken a law. The Pharisees bring this blind man back to testify at least twice. The day following the miracle, they bring him in and say, what happened? How can someone who's been blind from birth receive sight? And he simply tells them what happened to him, that this man Jesus, as he was begging, walked up to him, spit on the ground, rubbed his eyes in this mud and said, go and wash. And as soon as he washed the mud off, he could see. They bring him back a second time after his parents say, well, talk to him about it, he's of age. So he comes back in and they ask him again, who healed you? And he's like, well, as I said the prior day, I was there begging, as I do all the time. Jesus walked up to me, spit on the ground, made some mud, put it in my eyes. I went and washed in the pool of Siloam and I could see. And he adds something this time. Last time he said, well, maybe this man is a prophet. The second time he testifies to the prophet, to the Pharisees, he says, well, this man must be from God, because God doesn't listen to sinners. God only listens to the righteous. That was kind of his preconceived notion about how God works. So now the Pharisees are getting really mad at this man who was born blind but now can see, because they're not getting those answers they want to be able to convict Jesus and write him off. So they send this blind man away. They were like, well, this guy's over. We're going to have to wait till the next time and see if we can trip Jesus up some way. And Jesus encounters this man who was born blind but now can see again. And this blind man didn't know who Jesus was the first time that he encountered him. He maybe got a name and he couldn't see his face yet because he had to go and wash in the pool before he received his sight. So he didn't physically know what Jesus looked like. So when he had this encounter, he didn't know it was Jesus at first. And maybe he recognized the voice. But Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And this man who was born blind, who now can see, says, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. And this man gives a powerful testimony. He says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. We see throughout this story that's told of this man who was born blind but now can see, that he went from being blind, being cast out of the community, being someone who everyone looked on as unclean and a sinner, through that simple act of Jesus seeing him, healing him, restoring his sight, that now he's able to have life again. He no longer has to beg every day. He can go and live life and enjoy it and work and have a family and all those things that he wasn't able to have before. So Jesus not only restores his sight, but gives him life anew. And then in the end, we see that this man who was born blind but now can see becomes a follower of Jesus, a disciple, one who gives this powerful testimony that, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the one sent from God to bring salvation to us as your people. We have this example. Then we also have the Pharisees. Those who thought they had it all figured out, who knew how God was supposed to work in this world, that only God can work through righteous people, that God takes a day off on the Sabbath. The ones who thought they could see, by the end, Jesus says they are the ones who are blind. In their blind spot, or how they thought that God worked, wasn't actually how God was on the move in Christ Jesus. The Pharisees had set rules and regulations around how God could work, and if it was outside of those requirements that they placed on him, well, then it couldn't be Jesus. And the first thought is, well, he's got to be a sinner, or he's got to be from an evil source. But we see that Jesus, even though he doesn't encounter or talk to the Pharisees except for those last few sentences in our text, uses this blind man to push those boundaries or those blind spots of the Pharisees so that they might be able to see him. But because they thought they had it all figured out, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't respond. They wouldn't hear this testimony from this blind man that that I was once blind, but this man, Jesus, has healed me and restored me and given me new life. So how do we respond to this story? The scripture passage this morning gives us the same question that Jesus asks at the end. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The question is, or when we examine our hearts, this passage is a warning to examine where we see Jesus, or do we see Jesus, and what do we think about his work in our world? Are we blind to the work of Christ throughout our world and in our own lives? Or do we see him at work in us and in those around us? Are we so rigid in our understandings of how God works that if God were to do a miracle in our midst today, would we try to write that off as something else, or would we stand in awe as this man who was born blind stood in awe and simply proclaimed what he knew to be true, and that was that Christ healed him, that brought new life to him? Are we pharisaical in our understanding, where if it doesn't fit what we think should be the case, do we try and write that off, or do we welcome Christ in those moments? This is where we need to use Scripture to examine our understanding of things, and perhaps the ways that we were taught things in the past, maybe they don't line up with Scripture, and that's why it's important to get into God's Word and to understand it and to grow from it. But it's also a call for us to not just read Scripture ourselves, but to read it with others. Others who come from different backgrounds, different places, different understandings of things. I'm sure if someone who was blind read this passage, they might see things that you and I don't. Or maybe, like the blind man, someone who's cast out, someone written off as someone that God couldn't use, that he wouldn't touch, maybe that's the person God's working in and through right now to bring us to a better understanding of who this God is, who sent his own Son into the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. In this passage, Jesus takes someone outside and brings them in. I think a lot of the church's blind spot nowadays is that God only uses those who are in the church to do his work. I think this passage shows us that God uses anyone he chooses to, regardless of if they're in the faith community or if the faith community has thrown them outside. Let's be willing to be humble about what we can see, and maybe be aware that we have some blind spots, that through reading Scripture, that through being in community with one another, that we might be able to more fully understand and know how Christ is at work both in us, in each other, and with those who are on the outside who Christ is calling in to receive sight to have humility when it comes to how God works in our world. This passage this morning asks us the question, are you like a Pharisee, or are you like this man who was born blind, but now can see Christ for all of his light and glory and salvation? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent Christ Jesus into the world. As you say at the end of this passage, for judgment, that those who think they see everything clearly may be blind or have some blind spots. That those who have the humility, the understanding to know that they might not know everything, but long to know you, long to be brought into community with you and your people, and given this opportunity for new life. May we see where you are at work. May we look in our blind spots, perhaps where we're missing, where you are already at work, either in us or in our friends, our family, wherever that is, God. May we always see you at work and encourage that growth in us and in others. It's in Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen.